Good evening, everybody.
It does feel like home. I've been here so often. And I do miss Michigan, you all. I don't like Alabama, but I do miss Michigan. So you all pray that the Lord does something miraculous. But until then, I'll just visit once or twice a year. How about that? I'm so honored to be here. Pastor Rob has been my friend, as he said, since the first day we met in Jackson. And little did we know that we lived right up the street from each other, because at the time I lived in East Lansing. And so it's been a pleasure, and I'm so grateful to his family. They just kind of expect me to drop in, and I love that. Go with me to the Word of God, please. We're going to start at Mark chapter 2 and drop in at verse 1. Mark chapter 2, and we'll drop in at verse 1. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. I wish I could sing. I just love that Rock of Ages. And I hadn't heard Make Me a Blessing in years. So I've been so blessed by the music this evening and the congregational singing. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, so bear with me. Read along. It reads just a little different. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Isn't that something? Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, went even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you." That's a powerful message. Whenever I preach, I work real hard at trying to give it a catchy label or tag, as some people say, so that you'll remember it as you go home. And I wrestled when Rob and I talked about me preaching today. I wrestled with this because I've preached from this text often. I've done men's days where I talk about men on a mission. I preach from this text and I talk about 4 Christians and a cot. But that's not what the Lord laid on my heart today. Today, I want to call this Evangelism 101. Let your actions speak louder than your words. Hashtag actions matter. Say that with me. Let your actions speak louder than your words. Hashtag actions matter. Let's pray. God, we just thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to stand before this great congregation, God, and share what you've laid on my heart. Now, God, what you revealed privately, exposed publicly, God, that men and women and their families may be saved, sanctified, challenged, and charged to do your work. We love you, God, and we love the Argentine family. Have your way, and you shall get the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. When I look at this text, you've heard it before. It's not new. And we know that Jesus is beginning his mission. Mark is the oldest gospel recorded, written by John Mark. And so when you look at the text, it says that Jesus had come home. I don't know about you, but we're getting ready for Thanksgiving. And it's always a good time to come home. So I'm honored to be home in Argentina today. I was so honored because I had been working on this topic. And then I looked on Facebook and I saw where you all were doing the food truck yesterday. And I was like, this is a great sermon for today. Because they're already doing evangelism. They're already servicing the communities that they live in. And I thought about the little song, "And They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." It's a derivation of John chapter 13, verse 35, when the scripture says that the world will know who we are by what we do. I also found another little quote that I thought was so good. It says, I hope I get this right, "Reputation is who you say you are. Love is what you do." And so I want us to understand that it is in the ways that we serve the Lord and Savior that we reveal who we really are. You fed people yesterday who had some real issues. There are some people who were greedy and showed up too, but we don't really care about them. We want to care about the ones who were in need, and the Argentine Church of the Nazarene showed up. God wants us to show up, and when we show up, we look like Jesus, because Jesus fed people, both spiritually and physically. So let's just dissect this text, and then we'll go on home. In the text, it says, when Jesus returned home several days later, the news spread quickly. So if I use my 21st century mind, I would say there was an e-blast that went out that said Jesus was in town. If I use my sanctified mind, somebody had got on the phone and they sent a text out saying Jesus was coming to town. You know, the great healer, the great teacher, the great reconciler, Jesus was coming to town. And so word got out. And when word got out, it said that, well, he's going to be down the street at the Argentine Church of the Nazarene. And I just imagine this place just being packed and filled with people who needed a word from the Lord, who needed to be healed, who needed to be sanctified, the second work of grace, that infilling that lets you walk right, that lets you talk right, that makes you live right. And so they hurried to get in this place. And it was jam-packed. I imagine that the hallways were filled. I imagine that back in the fellowship hall was running over. People were standing, trying to look in these stained glass beautiful windows because they needed to see Jesus. You ought to live your life that when people see you coming, they know they're going to experience an encounter with Jesus. Now, I'm not talking deep. I've got some friends back home. And every time you see them, there's a particular denomination. I'm not teaching against denominations. And every time you see them, you say, how are you? And I have to fix my lips sometimes just say hello. Because I'm used to saying, hi, how are you? Haven't seen you in a while. How you doing? But then when you greet them, this is the word, and it's a standard phrase. They say, well, I'm blessed and highly favored and running for Jesus. I think, okay. But if you have to tell me that, every time I see you, I'm concerned that maybe the light of Christ is not shining inside of you. So when I see you, I may say, oh, I enjoyed your music today. And that Rock of Ages thing, you all did that well. I like that. I enjoyed seeing a congregation come up on Halloween night when most families are out, and I'm not teaching against that either. They're out celebrating with their children. They're dressed up in costumes. There's a place for everything. But I'm glad you chose to come here tonight. I'm so glad that you chose to get a word, because you're going to encounter somebody this week that what Pastor Rob preached this morning, you're going to need to share with them. So here we go. So this place is packed. It's a house. And in Palestine, in early first century, houses were built straight up. There was a large room. There weren't several rooms. They didn't have, like we do, living room, dining room, bedrooms. It was a straight room. And here's what would happen. These buildings were built straight up, and there was a ladder on each side. Now, sorry, maybe not on each side. There was a ladder on the side of the house. That ladder was for you to get up on top of the roof, because sometimes families would recline and rest on top of the roof. But you need to understand that roof did not look pitched and perfect like this. That roof was made with mud and leaves and other things that you could get in the first century. And then you also have to understand it's so hot in that part of the world that it had been baked by the heat of the day. So that roof was not a pliable clay that you just pick up. There were no expensive men, you have to help me, drills and things that they had to use that day. They had what was on them and had to figure out how to use it. Check this out. I want to go back before that. Somebody made a decision that Brother Joe is paralyzed across town. And I've heard that this Jesus is a healer. I've heard that this Jesus is a mind regulator. I heard this Jesus can fix whatever's going on in your life. And so one brother had to talk to another brother who talked to another one and another one and say, we got to get him to Jesus. That was a conscious decision made that when somebody said Jesus was in town and they thought, we got to get him to Jesus. Now let's go back. When you start your day, and you are even tonight when you prepared to come here. You may have been already dressed, but sometime in the course of your day, you had to wash your face, had to do some adjustments to your body, soap, deodorant, teeth brushing, and all that kind of stuff. Somebody had to do that. And if Brother Joe is paralyzed, I assume they didn't tell us if he was a quadriplegic, paraplegic. They just said he was paralyzed, which means that he had limitations that kept him from getting around on his own. So in my sanctified imagination, I have to believe that somebody had to go by and get Brother Joe ready. Mother Ellison, who was a member of the Church of God when I lived in Springfield, Illinois, she used to say, baby, you can't help anybody else or do God's work till you put yourself on hold. That meant that somebody in this group had to get up early in the morning and go get Brother Joe ready. Perhaps the other brother had to come by and fry up an egg, put a little meal together for a bread so that he could eat and be nourished on the journey. Somebody had to say, let's get a cot or let's make one, let's put one together. So there was this long process that somebody had to think through what's going to happen on this day when we get unto Jesus. When you go out in the world tomorrow, if you're working, if you're babysitting grandchildren or looking after friends or whatever, working in your yard, it takes preparation and thought to make things happen. You wake up, you get yourself together, and then you attempt to put together the tools you need to be successful for that day. Okay, so somebody goes, gets Brother Joe's body cleans up, probably shaves him, gets things ready. Somebody feeds him. The other two come, and perhaps they've got the cot that they're going to take him on. And so they go maybe to the other side of town to get them there. And in their imagination, they knew that Jesus was popular. They knew that there would be a crowd there, but no one expected it to be no vacancy or you didn't have any capacity of getting in the house. And some people, when they got there and saw they couldn't get in the front door, would have said, okay, we tried. But in this journey as a Christian, trying doesn't make it. We've got to be men and women on missions, focused on getting people to hear who God is in your life. We come in here and we hear Pastor Rob, who's an excellent exegete of the text. He's very good. I listen to him and I know he has a word from God. I also watch him live. See, somebody out there may not care that he's a seminarian with the MD. But what they care about is he's been in this community long enough, feeding physically and spiritually this community, that he's looked after the young people, the senior citizens. That's what they're looking for. Somebody in your neighborhood may never meet Pastor Rob, but they will see and hear you and watch what you do and how you do it. They will know that you're a Christian by your actions. Your words may be empty. That praise him, what is it? What does she say? Blessed, highly favored, and running for Jesus. And nobody cares because she's mean and nasty. Nobody cares because she doesn't feed the kids in her community or that she doesn't look after some of the seniors to see if they have bread or need to go to the grocery store. But they will know that you are disciples by your actions of love. You with me? Okay. So they get them there, they get to the door, and they run into this great obstacle that they can't get in. And I can imagine one brother looks over and says, there's a ladder. And I'm sure there was a doubting Thomas among the people, like, okay, so what? That ladder is this wide. It wasn't a construction ladder made of steel with all these fancy gadgets on it that reached all the way up to the top. It was a ladder, probably made of wood. And I could see somebody standing back and say, now, you know what? We love Brother Joe, but really? We got to carry our weight up this ladder? And Brother Joe was a full-figured guy like me. He had his weight. And they say that's dead weight, which is even heavier. So I can imagine two of them sitting back like, you know, we love Brother Joe, but we did all we can this morning. We got him dressed, we fed him, and let's just go home. But there had to be two people at least who were courageous enough to say, we're going up this ladder because we got to get this brother to Jesus. And so as they go up the ladder, this narrow ladder, and they have to climb, and the brother on the front end has to climb while he still holds the weight of Brother Joe back here. They go up the ladder, the guy on the bottom holding the greatest weight because he's got to help push up. And I'm sure the other guys came too because it talks about the four Christians, the four people that did this. So then they get to the roof and I know somebody had to say, did you bring your Steve? How are we going to get this mud up that's been dried in this heat for years and for years? And I can hear somebody say, I just believe God's going to help us do it. And I don't know if they had their bare hands. I don't know if they had metal objects. All I know is they tore the roof off the sucker. That's all I know. And they dropped and lowered brother down in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus, I just love Jesus. It says in that text that when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, sweetest name I know, healer, deliverer, mind regulator, Jesus, when he sees the effort that these four persons put in to get their friend to Jesus, he said, this is evangelism at its best. This is a living testimony of what God can and will do in your lives. Jesus says, son, you're healed. Son, you're healed. Now, I'm sure there were other people in the room waiting to hear some miraculous theological concept on pneumatology, soteriology, or any of those great doctrines of the church. Somebody came to hear him exegete the text, but old brother Joe came for a healing and received it. Tonight, saints, as you go on your way, I need you to understand something. Take Jesus with you. Let your actions speak better than your words. And know that your actions matter. Here we go. I'm moving to my seat as I say this. It says, then they lowered the man on his mat, right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, listen to this. ESV says, he says, son, your sins are forgiven. The New Revised Standard Version says, son. So Jesus has already received him into fellowship. As you go out, every time you go out, you ought to have a positive word to say to somebody. Because what you're saying is that Jesus can forgive. Jesus can heal. Jesus can regulate minds. Jesus can help you in your poverty-stricken state, whether it is physically, mentally, or emotionally. Jesus wants to do that. And I'm a living testimony. I'm a living testimony that God still heals. I'm a living testimony that God still does the miraculous. And each of you are. There are stories that you tell sometimes in testimony, and sometimes we just raise our hand. I heard somebody say this, and I'm a daughter of the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, the Holiness Movement. And I remember going to prayer meeting and Sunday night service, and they'd say, are there any prayer requests? And people would give some. And then they say, any unspoken requests? I've always got an unspoken request. There's something that I need God to do that I can't do for myself. There's some Brother Joes in my life. There's some Sister Sallys in my life. Some are blood related, others are not. And we have all kinds of thoughts. We've survived this last 18 months of COVID, and it's still raging. But God has been faithful. And I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on, all I know is God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And it is our duty to get people to Christ. I always tell people, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. And I have new converts who say, but I don't understand. I'm reading the word and I don't get it. Me too. There are times when I don't get it and I've got to reread it. But your actions, that you care about a neighbor, your actions that you all fed, what was it, over 400 families yesterday? 400 individuals. And I said, there may have been some people who didn't need anything, they were in line. I don't really care about them, but I promise you, 300 of those folks needed that food. I promise that work you all came, and I know you're tired. I know you need a good nap, and that's why this is it. But let your actions speak louder than your word. Eternal God, I thank you for the members of the Argentine Church of the Nazarene. I thank you for Pastor Rob, God, and the wisdom that you have given him to lead and to direct this congregation. God, for every officer in this church, God, I pray that you would give them an anointing and an unction, not just to do the periphery things, God, but to do the things that you call them to do to keep this church growing and prospering. God, for every member, God, every regular attendee, I ask that you would touch them in their bodies and in their minds, God. God, for those who need healing in their bodies, raise up doctors and nurses, technicians, God, with wisdom and discernment to treat their specific case, God. And then, God, for those who have other needs, emotionally, God, financially, God, raise up godly men and women, God, to address those needs and to teach them on their journey so they may be better stewards, God, of what you have placed in their hands. Now, for these mighty men of God who came and labored at the altar, God, and prayed for the younger brother, I pray right now, God, that you would give him the spirit to receive, God, what they have said, and to see, God, the anointing and the touch of God in their lives. For every person in this room, God, you know specifically what they need, God. There's nothing you haven't seen, God. You have looked into their hearts and understand the mysteries, God, going on in their minds. So, God, keep us in a place where we can hear and receive what you're saying and then move forward. God, we thank you and we praise you that we want our actions to speak louder than our words. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray and ask all these blessings. Safety on our way home. In Jesus' name, amen.